Hello, this is Randy Rickard from the world-famous The Donut Shop in downtown Albuquerque. Recently, there has been some negative press about our selection, and I am here to reassure you that we have fixed the problem. We have expanded our bakery and hired 5 more full-time donut artists. So rest assured that next time you decide to drive over to the donut shop, we will have glazed donuts, jelly donuts, Bavarian cream-filled donuts, cinnamon rolls, apple fritters, and bear claws. We might even throw in several donut types you weren't even expecting. That's the Donut Shop, now 100% weasel-free.
Sorry, I had marbles in my mouth.
Yeah, he didn't actually do marbles in his mouth.
Yeah, he did.
When he was singing the song originally for the recording, it was cookies.
You know, I would rather put marbles in my mouth for accuracy's sake.
Than cookies?
Well, I didn't know the cookies fact. I hadn't listened to the podcast yet. What are we talking about today?
I'll just sit here and wait. How long have you been waiting to do that?
About 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. Only 5 minutes.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, good. This is Smells Like Nirvana.
Yes.
Pretty straightforward. I like the title. It's very obvious what it is.
Yep.
Like,
very clever.
Off the Deep End.
Yes.
Yeah. The hit single from Off the Deep End. April 14th, 1992. The single actually came out on the 3rd of April, so 11 days earlier. And that single came out on April 3rd, which is 2 days and 2 years before Kurt Cobain died.
Wow.
Yeah. The B for the cassette single, the B-side was Waffle King, and the B-side for the CD was Waffle King and Trigger Happy.
Okay.
Waffle King ends up being pushed to a different album.
Right? How weird.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we talked about that. Remember, he pushed it back so he could use the not reference in his song.
I was only kidding, yeah.
Yeah. It was recorded on January 27th, 1992 at Santa Monica Sound Records.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
There we go.
That's all we got.
That's it.
That's it. Good. Bye.
Have fun.
Hey.
No, actually. No,
we got a lot for this one.
Remember last episode when we were like, hey, this song, that UHF failure, quote unquote, leads to the next song.
Yep.
This was his big break after UHF.
Big comeback, yes.
He waited for 3 years. He was trying to find the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, sort of a little depressed.
That was
about
his biggest break between albums. Yeah.
Yeah. A little depressed between UHF and between the soundtrack sort of not really doing well and the movie sort of not doing well.
Yeah.
He was sort of bummed. He was
harassing him.
Just trying to look at what he could figure out, find. Thought about doing Snack All Night. Based on Michael Jackson's Black or White.
Right.
And even Michael Jackson was like, you know what?
Maybe that's not.
I mean, maybe I didn't. Yeah. He doesn't sound like that, but I'm not going to do the impression.
Closer than Michael, than Weird Al did in that last song.
He's like, you know what? This one's actually a little bit more meaningful.
Yeah.
And you kind of already done two of mine about food. So how about you give it a pass? Find something else.
Yeah.
And once again, when he's forced to come up with something in...
Yep.
Like, he does.
Yes.
And it's so much better.
Yes, I agree. This would... Well, who knows? Snack All Night might have been pretty cool. But yeah, he's already done it twice. This song was fantastic. It just like...
This hit. Breaks the mold.
Yes.
This is technically his first satirical song.
Yeah.
Where everything else is just a parody of the lyrics. This kind of has a more deep kind of like reference to the band that he's singing about. It's almost, you know, later he'd do like Lady Gaga in the same sort of way. But this really sort of broke the mold.
Yeah.
This was the perfect song. He talks about the fact that he heard Nirvana and was like, this is such an awesome song. I want to do something with this, but they're never going to be big.
Yeah,
what
really?
One of the themes that seems to be going on when you do the research on Nirvana and the original Smells Like Teen Spirit is everybody was like, oh, okay, it's a good song, but it's just Nirvana. It's one of those weird little Seattle bands.
Right.
It's fine.
Yeah, no one expected it to blow up like it did on
the
MTV.
Video premiered on like a Sunday night at like almost midnight on the program 120 minutes, I think, which is their alt programming kind of thing. I think it'd been going on since like 1986 or something. So like it was just
some late night
and
stuff.
It blew up. If they knew, like in retrospect, you'd premiere this prime time on like Friday or right. something. Like, but they didn't. It was just left to this. Like,
I think it ended up being better this way because if it's prime time, it's not really like something that you could do that. It wasn't going to be like, you know, the mass appeal at something premiered.
Oh,
there.
No, I think I agree.
The fact that it was premiered as differently, more alternative, kind of gave it a better buzz and just like, yeah,
it became
it worked
a secret.
Out better.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like, it became like a, oh my gosh, did you see this?
You have
not,
to hear
of
this.
Course you saw this because
exactly.
it was.
Exactly. I think it was a, it, that
I agree.
That would have probably hurt it. Honestly, it would probably be like, what's this? Why are they showing us this crap? We don't want the boo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it blew up.
Yeah.
And as soon as it did, Al was like, you know what? Now I can do this song.
Yep. This song also helped me a lot because I was like not into Nirvana. I did not like them at first.
Oh,
I thought the song was
okay.
garbage. And then like the other
I really
songs
liked
came
Nirvana.
Out. I was like, this is my, probably because my sister liked it and you know, whatever my sister liked, I didn't like it. Also, I just didn't like them. Just like, nah, this is lame. Then Weird Al did this. I'm like, okay, cool. So I started listening to it. I had, you know, had to go back and listen to the Nirvana version and just kind of like, okay, maybe this one time my sister's right. So I just kind of got into Nirvana. Then I got really big into Nirvana, then like alternative and became this grunge kid. And it was just, yeah.
Good for you.
Good for me indeed. You know, my flannel collection went up.
And you used that later when you started doing improv. See, so it all like circles back.
Exactly.
You were just a pre-improv person.
Sure.
Getting your flannel. Yeah.
Yep.
Al says that he tries not to go the obvious route most times, but sometimes the most obvious route is the best.
Yeah.
In reference to this song. Yeah, it's cool. Everybody knows the story. We'll talk about it real quick. His manager kept trying to get a hold of them and it couldn't get through and didn't work. But then they were scheduled to be on January 11th, 1992, SNL with guest host Rob Morrow from Northern Exposure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because Victoria Jackson was a cast member and she had been his girlfriend in
UHF,
so it's still connected to UHF even, he actually got her to give Kurt the phone while they were doing rehearsals. And Al asked him over the phone if he'd want to be, you know, would allow him to do a parody. And the story goes, one of the first things he said was, oh, is it going to be about food? Because at this point, I was sort of known as the guy who did food parodies.
Yep.
I said, actually, it's going to be a song about how nobody can understand your lyrics. There was a brief pause on the line. Then he said, oh, that's funny.
Nice.
Yeah. Dave Grohl also was like, you know, you've arrived when Weird Al, it's a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
And he did a good job.
Yep.
So they liked it. They enjoyed the parody. It worked. Yep. The guy from Nirvana's record company even said that Al's song probably
Geffen?
Sold them another 100 records.
Yeah.
I mean, another million records.
You mean Geffen?
Maybe Geffen. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
It was Geffen Records.
So. Well, it was also Sub Pop at one point, too. So I don't know who's
probably,
who.
It was probably David Geffen.
Yeah. So that's cool, too, because that's another thing that you're like, oh, hey, man, we'll increase your
for
sales.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, there's a reason I bought all the Nirvana.
Yeah.
If not for Weird Al, I would have not gotten into Nirvana at all.
There you go. Proof. Yeah. And in fact, he used that. Weird Al tried to use that as an excuse to get James Blunt's record company to release Pitiful. But then they
were like,
where's
James Blunt now? What's he doing? I don't know. I think he's working at a car wash somewhere now.
I'm sure he's the spokesman for some kind of
dispensary
product
in California
or Colorado.
There you go. He has a built-in job.
There you go.
Job security. Yeah, he made a huge mistake. But thank you for White and Nerdy.
Well, and it wasn't his fault. He wanted it. And
I know.
That's why, sorry,
James.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it then.
Give us a call, James. I'm sorry.
On January 11th, the same day as Victoria Jackson's getting the permission.
Yep.
That was the same day of the episode, and Nirvana's Nevermind hit number one that day.
Wow.
Nirvana then played Teen Spirit and Territorial Pissings on the show.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just huge. It's epic. This is the second comeback. We're going to call?
Yeah, second comeback, yeah.
Yeah, because Eat It was the first,
and
then this is the second.
Yep.
And so...
The second coming of Al.
John says, The drum part is actually pretty loose. Tempos went up and down. We adjusted the tempos on our song to meet Nirvana's version. Yeah. It's by no means steady. And he even said that in an interview where he's like, I'm sure Dave is reading this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not consistent.
Yeah.
And they're such a and this is we talked about it last episode. Al is such a perfectionist that he has the wavering time signatures in the song.
Wow.
But last song, he decided to go with a weird voice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why? That's my point. Why, Al?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's what I love about his band. Like, they're so good.
They're awesome.
I was saying to you earlier, like, you listen to his parody, then you go back and listen to the original sometimes, and his band sounds so much better, like, very, very often. The example I used was Like a Surgeon, Like a Virgin. Yeah. If you listen to Like a Surgeon first, and then you listen to Like a Virgin, it's like jarring how much better Weird Al sounded. It's almost insulting. It's like, man, he's good.
No, they're good. They're great.
Yeah.
There's several songs where you're like, yeah, that's the band musically is better than the original.
Yeah.
And that's not even the lyrics on top of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah.
The cookies that were in his mouth that we just referred to.
Were they Oreo?
Were some kind of Hawaiian fig Newton.
Ew.
Some weird exotic off-brand.
Okay, whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, probably whatever they had in
fig
the studio.
Newmans.
They're just fig Newmans.
Newmans.
Newmans. The tuba solo was played by Tommy Johnson, who also played on a lot of other things, and we've mentioned him before.
Polkas?
But, yes, the polkas. But he also is the guy who played the tuba in the Jaws theme.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Good for him.
Another fun story is that apparently one night Weird Al woke up and wrote down Bargo Nado Zeus on a piece of paper.
And went back to sleep.
And then went back to sleep because he was like, I know it's going to be important one day.
Wait, before you even got the concept of the song?
So. I think so.
What?
Yeah.
He never
puts it in context with, he just refers to the song and it. He never says anything. Like, he never gives a date of when he does that, but yeah.
I hope it was like 1977.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
He's in bed getting ready to school. Bargle Nardle's house!
Another fun thing is it was recorded on the 27th of January. He got permission on the 11th.
Yeah, that's pretty quick.
He wrote it pretty fast, too. Uh-huh. Because remember, he usually doesn't write, even he might have ideas and concept, but he rarely writes all the lyrics out beforehand in case he doesn't have to, you know, can't make it.
That's great.
Yeah.
I was wondering during that story, like, was this like cell phone times? Did Victoria Jackson have a cell phone? I mean, I know they were around, but were they common enough? Or did he call the studio at 30 Rock?
That's a good question.
I never thought about it until just now when you're saying it in the story. Like, he called up Victoria Jackson. Like, did she have like one of those big old 80s, 90s cell phones? I mean, I guess, yeah, they were around. Nokias were around that time. She probably had a cell phone.
They talk about her handing this phone to them.
Yeah.
And
it had to be like a Nokia.
It's got to be some like big cell phone.
Yeah.
Original cell, like car phone.
I know they were around. I know they're around. I think I
maybe
got
we should
mine,
interview like, Victoria Jackson. Yeah.
Sure.
And be like, yeah. Well, and that's the other weird thing is in a lot of the stories, one of them was Dave's story about this whole thing. And he's like, this woman comes up with the phone and it's like, yeah, it's Victoria Jackson. Yeah. And Al's several times recently said, my friend was on the set. And I'm like, it's Victoria Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, how are we not saying her name? Like, I don't understand why she's not like, it was very weird.
Yeah.
But yeah. So okay. That's the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we'll get to the video in a moment, but
yes, let's.
But
what else you got? What do you got?
Lots of things. The album for Off the Deep End was styled on the Nevermind album cover.
Great cover.
And Al is actually wearing a bathing suit in that.
Yep.
It's just his body is bent in just the right way.
The perfect way.
That it totally looks like he's naked.
Yep.
And that was never intended when they started taking the photos.
Really?
But I definitely think when they saw that one, they're like, yep, this is the one.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. He's chasing after a donut. Which feels very Homer Simpson-y.
Yeah, it was the Simpsons donut. Sort of. Yeah, yeah. It's like the pink frosting one, yeah.
And instead of a dollar bill, which is the baby is chasing after that.
So he has to connect it to food somehow.
It's always food.
Yep.
Yeah. Ooh, speaking of Simpsons, we got more to talk about the Simpsons in relation to this later.
Oh,
that's more of a post thing, but
sure.
Yeah, yeah. Let's break it up. Let's talk lyrics real quick, and then we'll talk about the video.
Wow. Okay. Like favorite lyrics or just lyrics in general?
Well, lyrics in general and or your favorite one.
The whole song is just
crazy. It's solid, man. Just from the beginning,
what is
solid.
This song all about? Can't figure any lyrics out.
Yeah, if you just sing the whole song, you're just going to talk about all the lyrics.
Everything is just great.
Don't know.
Yeah. Now we're yelling and we're playing and I don't know what I'm saying. It's like,
I mean,
nailed.
Screaming and singing technically, but you know, same thing. I like yours too.
Yeah, well, you know.
Interchangeable.
I'm just going off the top of my head.
That works right into my favorite lyric.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not my favorite. I'm just saying lyrics in general.
No, I know, but I'm saying that one works right into mine.
Go
which
ahead
is,
with your favorite.
Crank the volume, ears are bleeding. I still don't know what I'm singing. We're so loud and incoherent. Boy, this oughta bug your parents.
Let me scratch out my favorite lyric.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I knew I should have gone first.
I didn't think you were going to pull that one.
I really like that one. Boy, this oughta bug your parents.
Yeah.
Well, I go, it's hard to bargle Nardle's house with all these marbles in my mouth.
See, there you go. That's it was important.
It was. He gave me my favorite lyric. That was my second choice. Right. We already mentioned that earlier, but I love the marble in the video, all the marbles falling out.
I liked the going, we don't sound like Madonna, so you can get the Nirvana rhyme.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that the whole hook where he's like selling albums. Like it's all about like, hey, we're Nirvana.
Buy our album. Yeah.
We're Nirvana.
Buy our album.
A garage band from Seattle. Well, it surely beats
raising
cattle.
That was one line that I'm like, do they raise cattle in Seattle?
I'm sure.
It just rhymes like out in the suburbs. Not suburbs, the farmlands around Seattle.
Isn't Seattle all sort of suburbs?
It's all Starbucks, yeah.
But after raising cattle, you get dun 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 moo.
Yep.
Like, and so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it gets great. And then it's just yelling. Oh, here it is. We're playing. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Conveying. Oh.
Yeah. Can you tell me what I'm saying?
Sayonara, sayonara, ayanana.
Yeah, sayonara, yada, yada.
It's so perfect.
Yes, it really is. From beginning to end, this song just nails it. It was like a perfect moment in time that he hit the cultural change, like where music was going from hair band to the grunge. This was the absolute perfect song for him to parody at that moment. And it gave him relevance again. It launched him right back. Like, hey, Weird Al's here. Here he is. Right,
Weird
back.
Al's back.
He's
for the
back.
Fifth time.
Yeah, yeah, right. He just like cemented him as like, no, he's not going anywhere.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
And this is the song. I mean, this is the song that really. This is my first album of Weird Al's. Like, I'd heard the other songs before, but this was definitely my album.
Okay.
And it was one of my earliest CDs too. Actually.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't even have Nirvana on CD. I had Nirvana on like cassette or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
My sister had them on CD. So that's where I borrowed the CD if I wanted to listen to that.
Yeah.
But it's hard to talk about anything other than just how amazing and perfect the song is. There's subtitles on it and I couldn't get this confirmed, even though I tried looking, but I am pretty sure I remember MTV putting subtitles on for a Nirvana song for like a week, and then they realized, well, these lyrics are kind of stupid anyways, so then they took them off.
Okay,
but that might just be an urban legend that I couldn't confirm because I kept looking at a whole bunch of things. But like that was the big joke, was that they actually were like, oh, everybody wants to hear what they're saying, so they'll write it. And then it was like, nah, it's not really worth it.
The album, there's lyrics in there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The album cover.
By the album.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're Nirvana.
They're Nirvana. Yeah. So music video now.
Yes, sir.
Oh gosh.
It's directed by Levy.
Yep.
As most of them were in that time.
He's great.
Yeah, he's great. Lots of stuff in this. I mean, like,
nails it.
We're gonna talk about stuff, but we're clearly gonna miss some stuff. But just because it's just like so spot on.
Yeah.
The next song is gonna be a very, very similar to that.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, yeah, and he does that. Of course he does that. And it's exactly like this. Yeah. I mean, he went to the same Culver County Culver City studio.
Yeah.
Stage 6 of the GMT Studios. Okay. Good morning tomorrow? No, I don't know what it means. He had the same a lot of the same audience.
Wow.
And in fact, the audience was a little hesitant at first, but then they found out that Kurt had been like, yeah, this is cool. Then they're all like, yeah, let's do this. Wow. So that's what
I remember watching, like, I think that's the same dude. Like, yep. They got that. I remember thinking at first, like, wow, they did really good casting. These people look like the originals so much. They nailed that guy and that guy. Like, no, they're pretty much all the same.
Yeah, they the cheerleaders, they got the same, and I believe the original cheerleaders were local dancers.
Uh-huh.
But those cheerleaders were the same. I love the, like, they still have the, like, the A, the what is it?
Anarchy
symbol on their thing. And they don't even, I don't even think Al changed that.
He, like, should have put an L. He really should have made an Al.
Yes,
why
of course.
Didn't he add an
How
L to it?
How does he not add an L to that?
Right? Like the Al TV thing. He really should have put an L on there.
Oh, come on.
Right? Anyways, I guess he just didn't want to change it. Yeah.
If you like the outfit, put an L on it.
Yeah.
Just,
oh, sorry. Boy.
No. Same guy. I mean, Tony DeRosa was the janitor in the original one.
Right.
He's a janitor in this one, too. And then they got him to put on a tutu.
Which was awesome.
And, like, and eat a donut.
That was dunked in the mop bucket.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because in the original one, he, like, sticks his hand in the mop bucket, and it's all, like, goo and stuff. But this time, he pulls out a donut and then eats it. Like this is Michael Jackson level commitment.
Every
to, like,
moment of that original video is, like, hitting this. He just, like, nails the video.
Yeah,
I love, like, the wig, the outfit, like, Dave.
Oh, the outfit is perfect.
Like, Bermuda has the whole Dave look.
Yeah. Bermuda and Dave had some stuff on his, like,
on the drum.
He had Scara, I think, which was the tag name of a guy who had been arrested for tagging, like, 300 buildings in 3 weeks or something like that in LA, I think.
Uh-huh.
John has, like, drummer, and the same thing with his shirt. It says drummer on it.
I think it just says drum.
It might have just say drum on the drum, but on the shirt, I think it says drummer.
Okay, yeah.
We'll just go over some more of this stuff. Sure. The joke of the janitor was actually an inside joke about Nirvana, because when Kurt Cobain, he dropped out of Weatherwax High School, but then a couple weeks later came back as a janitor.
Oh yeah?
So he worked as a janitor at the high school that he had
just dropped out of. I thought you were gonna say you're just gonna be a janitor if you drop out of school.
No, he actually was.
Wow.
So that's where that joke comes in.
I didn't know that.
Right. Levy actually spoke with Sam Bayer, who's the guy who directed the original one. And he also directed American Idiot's video and a couple other things like that. He was nice, but it definitely felt like he was, like, he was very much like, I'm an artist. I can't believe you're actually parroting what my art, you know, this artistic thing I've done. So he wasn't angry.
Not
he
helpful.
Just, no, he was slightly helpful. He just was like, okay, I
reluctantly
guess.
Helpful.
Yeah, yeah, reluctantly. Like,
this is going to fail. You can't copy the art like this. No one's going to watch it. Yeah.
But it worked.
Yeah, it did.
The best story is Tony Hawk was actually in the video.
Which I'd never heard this. You just told me this.
Wow. Al says, I heard from people that Tony Hawk was Twittering, guess which Weird Al video I was an extra in? And I had no idea. It turns out he was one of the people in Smells Like Nirvana, one of the punkers. I guess he's in one of the shots with Dick Van Patten. So when I went back to video and freeze flamed it, I think I know which one is he is, but I'm not 100% sure.
Wow.
It just blows my mind that Tony Hawk was in my video.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you
found him? Did you look?
I think he's the one next to
Dick Van Patten
when he's doing all his weird Dick Van Patten stuff. Dick Van Patten was another weird thing.
Yeah.
This is a cameo, and
this
I think
this
is
one,
his
right?
first cameo.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to Bedrock Anthem and a couple other songs after that.
He wasn't in Gump. We talked about he should have been in Gump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was an 11th hour addition because, like, it was one of those things where they're like, we should have somebody famous in this video in the stands. Anybody know any famous people? Anybody?
I know Dick
Bueller. And then somebody was like, yeah, I know Dick Van Patten. He's like,
perfect
for me. Bring him in.
They want someone. I thought that they would have been like, we need the most unlikely person to be jamming out to Nirvana. Who can you think? That'd be funny to be a Dick Van Patten. Because he's like the most obvious, not obvious, but the most perfect, like, America's dad. Like, this dude would never be here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's put him in there. I couldn't think of anyone better than Dick Van Patten at this point. Like, no one could have been better at that weird cameo than him.
Yeah.
And it just works so well. The way he's just bopping around and looking all goofy and white.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's there's so many cool things. This is the introduction of the weird bendy guitar.
Yeah.
Which is perfect. Yeah. I like at one point the cheerleaders do like the chicken dance for a second. And I'm like, it's like, so awesome because it's all slow motion.
Yeah.
And they're doing it like it's I enjoy the basketball game that happens in the middle of the song.
Right.
That's a lot of fun. At one point, one of the kids bends a guy's nose, like stretches the nose.
Rips someone's head off.
There's heads and arms being ripped off by mannequins. They have people flying, like instead of moshing, they just like throw people.
Yeah.
I mean, the video is so perfect.
It really is. I hadn't watched it in a while. Just it was so much joy just watching it again. Like, oh man, this was so good.
Yeah, so good. And it carries on to the live performances. Outlaw is always playing the left-handed electric guitar, wearing a shirt that's similar to Cobain.
The wig.
The blonde wig. He also says that people are like, were you playing the guitar left-handed in that video? And he's like, well, I can fake playing a left-handed guitar just as easily as I can fake playing a right-handed guitar.
Yep.
Because he doesn't really play guitar or didn't back in the day.
I don't think he does anymore. He still doesn't.
Yeah, I think at one of the concerts he did a guitar solo and played like a note. And then there we go. Moved on.
Right.
Steve J like does the thing where
Chris Novoselic.
Yeah, that.
Yes.
Always was like low hanging bass.
Uh-huh.
And so he'll put like a second guitar strap on his bass so he can get it as low as he possibly can. He does that in the video too.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. They also get local dancers for the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's usually, he talks about it. I saw a couple of video of people who had been part of it. Like there was this one girl who, had a video diary, like she's a comedian. So her and another friend had sung a silly song and like, it's always up to the promoters basically. So the promoter will come and be like, oh, my niece is in a dance class or I contacted the local ballet shop or
ballet shop,
the ballet shop.
They sell ballets.
I don't know. Have you ever balleted your car?
I don't think that's the right word.
No, okay. Like,
be careful when you pirouette this.
Yes, exactly.
Jeez.
I drive a Grand Jute. It's awesome. They see me rolling. So it's always just random people potentially. And it's kind of fun because they get told they have to like come up with a little routine. So they have like, they spend a little bit of time coming up with it, but it's all basically it's like, you just look frown. You can't smile at all.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Just look dead inside a little bit and don't frown and don't smile.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing they have. So everything else is up to them. So like Weird Al doesn't know what's happening and half the time doesn't even meet them until after the show.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. So it's kind of like these people just sort of wander on and do their little dance. So it's, and that's fun. Those are always fun. I love that.
Yeah.
Those in the, well, at one point we'll talk about the 501st, and those kind of moments are a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah.
So,
very cool.
Yeah.
So he stopped doing this one for a couple of years, obviously, after.
Well, and that was the thing. Originally, he was like, should I do this? Should I do this? And then he was in Seattle at one point, and he was like, oh, I really can't. And then they were like, no, you should do this. And so he does it, and like the audience loves it. Like it was very cathartic for the entire audience to be like, yeah. So for a while, he was sort of introducing it as like, hey, this goes out to my friend Kurt. You know, like he was a great guy, that kind of thing. Because like we talked at the beginning, this was a song and this was a group that Al really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Because Al came from, as we've talked about, punk, that late 70s kind of counterculture, sort of DIY kind of thing. And that's exactly, this was sort of like the 90s version of punk.
Yeah.
Before we got like Green Day and Blink 182, was punk basically.
Basically, yeah.
Or at least the same.
Well, Nirvana is very punk influenced. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, their first couple albums like way more punk. They actually do Devo covers and it's just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's totally, you can totally feel that punkiness. Mm-hmm. And while maybe you might not technically qualify as punk, but it's punk in the same way that Weird Al was punk, where he was like a self-starter and he didn't care about what everybody else thought.
Right.
And he was just doing his own thing and he was making it work.
Yep.
And that's exactly what this is. And I think that's one of the reasons he got drawn to it.
Yeah.
And it was so great to see him enjoy that, I think. This also, after when they did play it, it ended up being the first song that they had ever played by first parody they had ever played by somebody who had passed away.
Okay.
Which is an interesting, because they played some old stuff, but they hadn't played the really old stuff, like Craigslist wasn't out yet or anything like that.
Right, right.
So up until that point, I guess he had never really written a song by somebody who wasn't alive anymore.
Wow, yeah.
And so this was the first song like that for that. Okay. And at least that's what John says right. in a Spin magazine article about the 20th anniversary of this song.
Was Jim in the video at all, or he just not in it at all? Chemo?
I don't know.
He didn't play anything, but I wonder if he's in the audience.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer when they're like, it's a trio. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, the same thing with Gump. You know, they're not all in that one either.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he was in the audience and I just never saw him.
Yeah. Oh, and it's a possibility. Yeah, maybe he was one of the cheerleaders.
You did all the research. I was wondering maybe you know something that I didn't.
I didn't find anything like that. Yeah.
You just had the day off.
I'm not good with faces and stuff. Yeah, you know that.
Me neither. But anyways.
The video was nominated for an MTV Best Male Video Award.
Right. Not in a special subcategory.
The biggest one.
Yeah.
In 1992.
I remember that. I was pulling for him that year. I was like, Come on, Al. No.
Do you know who it lost to?
I could have probably told you before, but it's been too long.
Tears in Heaven.
Yeah, it's a good loss.
Yeah.
Phrasing.
Wow.
I did not mean it that way.
Wow. Okay. Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
Name of a deodorant.
Yes, it was.
Bikini Kills singer wrote, Kurt smells like Teen Spirit. And he thought it was like this cool, like punk sort of like anti-social like message.
Uh-huh.
And then he wrote the song, but then he later realized it was just an advertisement, basically.
Oh, he didn't know?
He didn't know what it was? When he originally read that on the wall, he was like, yeah, I do smell like Teen Spirit. So someone
back up a little bit. So someone wrote something on a wall about him.
Yes.
Well, where was his wall? Like one of his concerts?
I think it was like in a school, like high school or something like that.
Oh, okay. Someone in his high school said that he smells like Teen Spirit.
The singer for Bikini Kills.
I don't know who that is.
That's a song.
Okay.
I mean, that's a group.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
In his school.
Or something. Like, okay. Like, that's a band that you potentially could have heard of.
Okay, I didn't. Okay.
But and so I don't know if it was in school, but she wrote that somewhere.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah.
Maybe
that's
some
really
club they're both playing.
Yeah,
probably.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, that's so punk. Yeah. Okay. And then didn't realize that there was it was a reference to
a deodorant. Okay. Yeah. I didn't. Wow, it's pretty nasty deodorant. Yeah,
it would be like saying
Charlie Kurt smells like Axe body spray.
Yeah,
what were you gonna say?
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Only I was gonna use Kurt instead of me, but you know. No, Charlie smells like Curve.
Curve. Ooh.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. So, I didn't know that. I thought he knew that it was deodorant and just.
Nope.
All right.
No.
Like something that stinks. Like, yeah, man, it smells like Teen
nothing
Spirit.
Is more punk than accidentally writing a commercial.
did Teen Spirit ever actually use a song? Probably not. No.
I don't know.
Because it doesn't say Teen Spirit in the song at all. So, no.
Oh, yeah.
No.
You're right.
Yeah.
It was number 7 in the U.S. and number 6 in the U.K.
Really? Yeah. Never hit number 1?
Never got that high. Huh. And Cobain admits that it is both a ripoff of the Pixies.
Hmm.
And sort of like feels a lot like More Than a Feeling.
More Than a Feeling?
Yep.
Okay. I can kind of hear that in some of the, yeah, I'm playing it in my head.
The riff is sort of.
I can kind of hear what you're talking about, yeah.
Maybe a little more speed up.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep. I kind of got a little bit of that in my head there. Sure, why not?
All right. Cobain wrote in his journal, quote, Weird Al Yankovic is America's modern pop rock genius. Do your own thing. Others own their own thing. So I think that's good.
Yeah.
After the song came out, Al saw Kurt in a restaurant in LA.
Uh-huh.
And he walked up to him and was like, hey, thanks for everything. You know, like I really thank you for letting me do this song. That's really cool. And so he's like, anything I can do for you, let me know. And Kurt extends his hand and says, polish my nails. Don't know what that means, but that's a story Al said.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Ratings.
Wow. It's a tough one. I mean, it's so good. It's such a good song. Honestly, though, not one of my very favorites.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, it's really good. It's really solid. It's very nostalgic listening to it. But if I were to like just randomly put on a Weird Al playlist, not something that comes to my mind to put up there in my top song. So I don't know.
You're wrong. This is a 5.
Okay, I'm not saying it's not a 5. I'm just saying for me personally, it's hard because I can't think of anything negative about it at all.
Exactly.
Right. But if I'm going to listen to Weird Al songs, I could take it or leave it, but I don't know why.
Because you're a horrible
Probably because I heard it so many times.
Well, it does. It's
it, doesn't have re-listenability for me.
It's not quite good enough. Like, it is good, but it's not like, once you hear it, you're like, okay, cool, I've got it.
Right, exactly. That's why I'm like, I'm hesitant to give it a five, because there's songs that I listen to, like, I will listen to over and over and over and over and over again and never get sick of
them. And I will agree with that. I'll listen to Another Tattoo like 10 times in a row.
And Velvet Elf, like, I listen to like 4 times in a row. Craigslist over and over. This one, I listen to
Craigslist over and over?
I love Craigslist. Anyway, we'll get there.
Like one listen to it is like half a day.
Yeah, I still, I sometimes I put that one over again. I just love the sound of that song. Anyways, this isn't one of those songs for me. But it's, I can't think of anything negative to say about it. I don't know why it's not. But I can't give it a five just because it's not up.
Okay, okay, then what are you giving it?
I'm thinking. You I'm fool. Stalling. 4.5.
Okay. Fine. So anybody who wants to co-host We're All Yankovics.
What the? You can't throw me out because of this. It's just a personal feeling. It's not one of my top. Yush. Yush you.
You're lucky I didn't throw you out over your personal feeling of Got a Boogie. This is worse.
I didn't give that a five.
you didn't give it a one.
Well, it didn't deserve a one. Anyways.
Fun story. We talked about The Simpsons.
Yes.
The second time Weird Al was on The Simpsons, episode 11, season 19, called That 90s Show. And basically, it's a flashback to when Homer became a grunge artist and basically parallels the story of Nirvana, kind of.
Nodding politely.
Yeah.
The line I remember from that episode. Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins, Homer Simpson, nodding politely.
In the commentary tracks for that episode, the people talking also sort of give, because Weird Al's in that episode, and Weird Al does a parody of Homer's song in that. Now, Homer does a parody called Shave Me, and then Weird Al does a parody of that called Brain Freeze.
Yeah.
And even has a video and everything for it.
Wow.
And that's also the where we get the line after watching that video, the Weird Al video, Homer goes, "He who is tired of Weird Al is tired of life."
Yes.
And what I was saying, the commentary, they said that Word Crimes was a song that was actually better than the original by Weird Al.
For sure.
Just random.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
I listened to the commentary. I thought they would talk about more about Weird Al. But Weird Al was just sort of in there for a second. But that's what the reference they talked about was.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a fun episode. It's his second appearance and stuff. And I think he also did some of that in the performance when they did the cool L.A. show for The Simpsons, when they did that show at the Bowl, Hollywood Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
So that's Smells Like Nirvana.
Well, Simpsons has a better quote about Weird Al than King of the Hill did.
What did King of the Hill say?
You don't remember that one?
No.
Like, oh, Bobby is saying he wants to be like Weird Al. He's like, Weird Al died. Weird Al died or something like that. And he's sad. Don't be like a sad, pathetic life or something. So I can't know the exact quote. It's something along the
line. I'm glad you made a reference.
I'm just saying it's something. If you know the quote exactly, give us a call. It's something along the lines is Weird Al Yankovic died alone and sad. Don't want to be like him. Something along those lines. It's like, wow. Totally just said he's dead. Like, what? He's not dead.
He's died like 7 times. Yeah. Haven't you heard?
Damn it, Bobby. He keeps coming back. Anyways.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. I'll find the quote eventually, but I don't have time to do research. You're staring at me awkwardly.
Yeah. I usually do that. Hey, you missed one of your marbles. You lost your marbles.
I lost my marbles.
Rufio. Anyways.
Rufio didn't lose them.
No, I know, but it's the same movie.
Yeah, I know.
If you'd like to call us up for some strange reason at this point.
Why would you want to talk to us?
302-72-WEIRD. We got the 100th episode coming up soon.
Yes.
So leave us a little voicemail saying, hey, happy 100th or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Something as simple as that.
Send us a $100 bill, whatever. Yeah,
302-72-WEIRD. Also, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook and MySpace and lots of other places.
Just look for places.
We're All Yankovics.
Google Maps.
Yep.
Because if you need to find out where to send that $100 bill.
Yeah, yeah. You can find out Steve's home.
Whoa, no.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you very much. And we'll see you for the next episode.
Bye-bye.